You are listening to The Sharing Project, and I'm your host, Kristen. Join me as I share kindred conversations with inspirational people in my life. We'll discuss the meaning of life, our soul's purpose, making big decisions. Big decisions. That is a big decision to say big decisions. And living as our most authentic selves. Welcome. Welcome back to The Sharing Project. I'm so glad you're here. If you listened last week, thank you. I've been very touched by the response that I've received to my first episode. So glad you're here. Today, on today's show, I have my first interview. I'm interviewing my friend and fellow cheetah, Emily Lewis, and she will be telling you more about how we met. In this episode, we're really getting into how we know ourselves and love ourselves enough to be our true selves. And we had a really great chat, a lot of it based on a book that we've both read called Untamed by Glennon Doyle. It's a wildly popular book, and I do have a link to it in the show notes. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I encourage you to consider it. All right, so Emily and I are going to get into it. Please enjoy. After you listen to the episode, please feel free to leave a comment or question and let me know whether you would like to have that aired if we choose to air it. Would you be okay with us airing it? We are also now on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and the leave a message feature is only available on Spotify. So if you are listening in on Apple, yay, thank you. If you want to leave me a message, just go ahead and email me at thesharingprojectpodcast@gmail.com. The email address is also in the show notes. And please, if you like what you heard today, give me a like, share it with people that you know will enjoy and benefit from the show as well. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Emily Lewis.
Hello, Emily.
Hi, Kristen.
Welcome to The Sharing Project. Well, you are so welcome. Thank you for being here as my first guest on my podcast.
I'm honored. Thanks.
This is exciting. So we used up a lot of our time getting our tech ready. So I realized
we have to just jump in.
We figured it out as we are playing podcasts today with my very good friend, Emily Lewis. And I will have given a little introduction, like a pre-recorded thing or actually a post-recorded thing before. So, but if you could just for the listeners, just talk a little bit about who you are. And maybe just share like your experience of how you know me. And then when you're done, I'll tell how I know you.
Perfect. So I am Emily Lewis, which at this rate probably been said 4 or 5 times by the time you do the pre-recording. I am a mother of 2 boys. I'm a lot of things. But right now I'm a life insurance agent, but that is not like my identity. I think I'm also a new voiceover artist and a blossoming podcaster. And I do a lot of nonprofit stuff with the mom community and the insurance community. So I know Kristen, you. Are we talking? We're talking like we're just in a room together. So I know you because we met through Mom's Club back when, I just can picture my office at the time with this color scheme to match a portrait I had of Marilyn Monroe. And it was all rust, very dark rust walls with a like Kool-Aid grape trim and then a billiard table green accent color. It was putrid, but that's where I met you, when I was in that office on the phone discussing discussing Mom's Club. And the very first conversation I had with you, we just hit it off, like just the energies collided, and I really cared for you ever since. So we have a long journey between then and now, but
aw, yeah. I love that you know where you were when we met on the phone. That's so great. Because I know where I was too. I was sitting at my dining table in my first house that we had out here in the valley. So I had moved here from Santa Monica. So we had had Henry, and then we moved here from Santa Monica in 2016. So Henry was two, and I had this really great mom community in Santa Monica, and I had a lot of friends out here, like just from growing up out here, but I didn't have a mom community. And I had reached out to the Moms Club via whatever, Facebook or website or whatever it was before we even moved here. And yeah. you were the membership coordinator. So you were the first person that I met from the club. And I remember you called me and we had this talk, and I know exactly where I was sitting at my dining table, and just feeling like I had met, you know, a friend, like someone familiar. And yeah, I feel too, like we hit it off right away. And like, I was so happy to meet you, and you were so just inviting and welcoming and vivacious. And I felt like I was in really good hands with the club. And like, and then when I would start coming to meetings and like going to play dates and stuff, and I would see you, it was like, you were like a little bit of a celebrity to me. Like, oh, there's
a list.
Well, you are kind of a celebrity to me still, even in my life. Like, I know I've shared this with you before as your friend, like that I've had a little bit of like starstruck. There's like a little bit of starstruck quality that I have with you, because I see in you like so much charisma and so much star power. And one of the things I want to get into with you today is like, you know, you introduced yourself and said like, I do this, but that's not my identity. Like, to talk a little bit about like the things we do and all the different facets of our identity. And like, oh my God, there's so much I want to talk to you about today.
No, we never run out of things.
Thank God, right? But let me just tell the people why I wanted you to be my first guest on this show. So first of all, Emily and I are both starting up podcasts right around the same time. We decided a few months ago that we'd be each other's accountability partners. And as life would have it, like, you know, kept having to make appointments and cancel them and postpone to like sit together and work on our own respective podcasts. But in the last month or so, we both finally like taken the leap and started on this journey. And so, you know, I started my podcast last week rather unexpectedly. I hadn't really like premeditated that, but it just was like, I had the energy for it. And then when I thought, well, who's going to be my first guest? It has to be Emily, because you are in large part responsible for kind of my this part of my journey. Not you specifically, but like you're it's all your fault.
Don't tell your
No, like your influence. Oh, you know, I poured that bottle of water and I forgot to bring it in here. Your influence, just who you are has been like this little beacon of light in front of me and kind of beckoning me like to come forward, to come out of myself. You know, you're like a little shinier than I am. And I don't say that in like a self-deprecating way or like a judgmental way, but like, you're the kind of shine that like inspires me to shine. And like, that's why I think in the past I've said like, oh my God, I can't believe like you want to be my friend. Cause like, I just look at you as like this, like, you know, this like beautiful, cool girl. And like, I still sometimes feel like, like, you know, when they talk about like, you know, when they talk about like main character energy versus best friend energy. Well, in my life, like so much of my life, I've had what I've felt like I've been like the best friend, right? Like I haven't been the main character of my own life. And I'm coming into a place in my life where I'm willing and wanting to do that. And like you emulate that kind of energy for me. And so, or you emit that kind of energy that I want to emulate. So, but specifically what this boils down to is that you either directly or indirectly introduced me to the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And I don't remember, maybe you remember, but I don't remember how or when. You might have posted about it on your Facebook. You might have said something about it in like the Moms Club group. I don't even know. Maybe you can remember. If you do, tell us.
I do remember.
Yeah. So tell us about like your experience with that book, and then we can go back to like reading it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, honestly, I wish I could remember how I learned about the book personally, and I'm sure it was a powerful woman in my life that I saw in some capacity. But I do remember telling you about it, and you were amidst your journey, your current journey, like just the best way that I have come to say it in my personal life is I can't even remember how I say it, but it's like you're coming out of your cocoon. Like you are spreading your wings. You are blossoming. This is your moment, and there's many more to come, and you've had many, but this is such a pivotal part of your journey. And so I think it's like a very coming of age thing that all of us experience, regardless if we're single or married or not, right? And for me and you, we were amidst this journey. I think I had come with you to look at a property, is how I think it goes. If not, it was one of our lunch dates during the pandemic. And I just remember you telling me where you were at specifically in your process. And I don't know, I know that we've discussed this on the first podcast, so there's not a lot of secrets, right? Like we can not be so cryptic about it. So you were just saying that you were exploring the notion of not being with your husband anymore. And you were in a really tough spot. And I had just finished this book and just felt so empowered, not to do any one specific task, but to accept to be myself and to stop questioning me and my hidden powers. And I was so moved and motivated by the words that Glennon Doyle writes in this book, that when I was listening to you talk, I'm like, oh my gosh, you of all people, and really any woman who is at a crossroads in her life, need to read this book. And I remember recommending it. I remember you writing it down and saying, okay, I'm gonna go get it. And you told me that you did. And I was like, buckle up, sister, because this is gonna be a ride. So I feel really, in a really cheesy overuse of a current word, I feel seen that you acknowledge that moment and reading that book and how it's influenced you. And I'm so glad that you see the positivity of that, not just in reading it, but also your own life. Like it's everything that I remember. This is like a little bit of a tangent, but I remember ages ago, you and I met up, I think at a Starbucks on like Ventura and Woodlake, like way far down there. And I was giving you advice on how to social media market. And like,
hashtags,
hashtags. Yes. And I remember asking you, where do you see yourself? Like, what do you want? And I'm not going to say what your answer was, but I know that you full-heartedly knew, and this is in regards to your career, just for the record, and you knew the answer. And I told you, like, without skipping a beat, you're like, this is what I want. And I just saw then that because that answer came so quickly, you knew exactly what you wanted and probably still do. There is a light inside of you that, God forbid, we let it die out. And so flash forward years later, when you came to me with, you know, personal stuff that you were going through, this book had to be explored because you are just such a fire and we just don't want it to go away.
Okay, so let's talk about the book. We'll get back to the book, because there are some topics about this book that I want to talk about how we've applied them to our lives. So I was afraid to read the book Untamed because I knew you. I knew that you were this like spitfire powerhouse woman. You had main character energy. And I was afraid of having that energy in my life because I knew that it would mean that some things would have to change. that some ways that I was being were going to have to be different, and it was going to require a great amount of courage. And I was like, if I read this book, I think I'm not going to have a choice. Oh, I should have grabbed my water bottle when I was in there. Anyway. So I finally read the book. I don't remember how I got it, if I ordered it off Amazon or if I walked into a bookstore. Who cares? I read the book. I literally read the book like probably in one sitting. Like I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
And then I think I remember taking a picture of the book in my lap and maybe texting it to you and being like, I read the book. And I felt like I joined this elite club. And now, I mean, now I kind of know that's actually true. Like I do believe, like it elevated me to this level of like self-honesty. It wasn't an elite club, as in like you had to qualify to get into it. The only qualification into this club is like the willingness to be honest.
Yeah.
And to like be unapologetically yourself, like good and bad, like living on that edge of your life, right?
God, it's perfect. Yeah.
So talk to me about the cheetah. You're wearing a shirt today with cheetahs on it. You texted me about wanting to get cheetah print tattoos. You bought cheetah undies at Target yesterday. Talk to me about the cheetah and what that has meant for you.
Oh my gosh. Well, for starters, within Untamed, well, actually, the very opening of Untamed starts with this beautiful story about Tabitha the cheetah. And you will have to buy a copy of the book or borrow a copy of the book to really understand the special symbolism. Thank you, Emily. Of Tabitha. But it's a true story about a caged cheetah who lived at a zoo, who would every day be fed a steak, but to get to the steak that was created in the butcher shop at the local grocery store, she had to chase a pink stuffed bunny on a pickup truck. And so this was a big presentation for children that would visit the zoo. They could watch Tabitha chase the pink bunny and find her, you know, carefully prepared steak at the end of the run. And one child called out and said, well, isn't she sad? Like, what about, like, where's her mom and dad? Or something to that effect. And it sent Glennon, this who has the ability to write poetry in like an everyday story, into just comparing the cheetah's life against a woman's life and how Tabitha is caged. And if she weren't caged, she would chomp every zookeeper and attendee to her desire, not because she's evil, but because that's who she is. She's a wild animal who's been caged. And so the whole story from there goes into untaming this cheetah, i.e. ourselves. And so, I'm sorry, what was the question? I just had to give some background on Tabitha.
No, you're such a good story, such a good storyteller and re-storyteller that I forgot the question. Oh.
I think you said, like, how did that apply to your... Oh, cheetahs! Cheetahs! So Tabitha and the symbolism around Tabitha, for me, is just one of my most favorite stories. And I didn't mean to, but I have accrued, like, a little bit of a cheetah wardrobe. And it's certainly like, don't go out and like get me all the cheetah stuff. You know, it's like you like something when you're a kid and all of a sudden it's, I don't know, Sanrio everything. I don't need that. But I did observe in my closet, I've got a cheetah dress and I've got a cheetah top. And I did buy new cheetah undies at Target yesterday. And this very shirt that I'm wearing, if you can see, she's got, there's a cheetah in there. And she symbolizes, you know, freedom and being wild and fierce to me. And so I actually knew that I wanted to wear this shirt today because it's a really special day for me, aside from getting to do this podcast, which is also very special to me. I wore this shirt for the other event. And then how perfect that I would be wearing it to our podcast. And I will tell you, my undies are the ones I found at Target yesterday. I'm matching. Hey. So the cheetah, she is, she symbolizes ferocity and wildness and untamed and basically anything but basic.
Yeah, well, you are anything but basic.
Thank you. You're so complimentary. Thank you.
I want to know, like, okay, I have a multifaceted question for you. So I want to know, you can start with whichever one you want. Like, have you always felt like a cheetah? / have you had a cheetah moment or movement in your life? / talk about what you did today in regards to, like, your own personal freedom, fierceness, remembering who you are, reclaiming your giftedness. Like, I want to know, like, your experience with the cheetah symbol and how this is coming to life in your life, and kind of like how it's evolved, or yeah. has it just always been like how you
know? Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, it's not easy for women like myself and yourself to accept compliments. It's just not. And when a woman, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I do know that when I've given you a compliment, you're like, oh. You know, there's so many women that I do that with. I try to give a compliment. We just, and I sit here, and as you're saying these things, like I have these qualities, like this je ne sais quoi. You didn't say that, but that was, you know, kind of the takeaway, but I have this star quality, and I'm this cool girl, you know, I'm chuckling and asking, like, have you always been a cheetah? Because, like, the big, fat, simple answer is no. I've not always been a cheetah. Never have I been a cool girl. It's funny to learn that. I was also told my friends and I are very clicky, which I can't say that word without clicky. I don't think there's a nice word to it. But I have put so much intention in my life around not being clicky and just being who I am, that it always surprises me to find out there is a cool girl perception by some people. So just, you know, trying to keep my answers sort of brief, because I could probably do a whole episode on each one of those answers. I've never known I was a... Let me think of how I want to answer this. I have never... outwardly been a cheetah. Okay. There's been moments, many moments. Like, if you ask my mother, who's very quiet and reserved, if I'm a cheetah, and she understood the concept and all stars were aligned, she would absolutely say, oh my God, yeah, she can get anything done. Like, my mom would say, you are abrasive, but we love you, or something. And I would say, sure, maybe I'm a bitch, but I get the job done. I'm sorry if I just made this an E episode. Maybe I can edit that out. Maybe I'm a beep, but I get the job done. But those are moments, right? And for me, those have always come from bottling up and suppressing emotions, whether it's the get her done emotion, the ambition emotion, the angry emotion, the sad emotion, the frustrated. I have always been a bottler upper and run at this very, like, steady, even pace of chipper and happy and sunshiny. But inside, I am, like, clawing to make something right, justice in any given situation, small or big. And when I see something happening that is wrong, and I know it's wrong, and it's, you know, usually treating somebody poorly, a child, an older person, an animal, that's when she comes out. So I've known that she exists, but I've never given her the platform, her being the cheetah, to stand on and just be herself. I've really tried to suppress her, and I have learned in the past several months, I mean, certainly since the, you know, sometime during the pandemic, that I've worn a mask for a lot of my life, where I am concealing in a large way my identity, which is this cheetah version of myself. And just recently I've started to take off the mask, and I actually reached a moment where I just decided, and this was this past year, where I just decided I'm done. I'm not going to live for people anymore. I'm going to live for myself, because there comes a time when, or not there comes a time, I had reached a point where I was able to see through a lot of personal work and growth and books and meditating and journaling and affirming and everything else. I had come to learn that I was putting my comfort beneath other people's comfort. I realized that in so many situations, my kids are void of this, by the way. My kids will always come before me. I mean, not always, actually. Actually, that's not true. But for the most part, of course, I will sacrifice my own comfort for my child's comfort. But not as a rule. But with other people, I realized I would rather make you comfortable and make myself uncomfortable in so many situations. And I realized there just came a day that that had to stop. I know that the moment will come to me. It's not coming to me at this moment. But I do know that there was a moment. I have a moment. It's not the moment, but it kind of goes into the next part of the answers to your questions, which is, where was I today? So this was, I suppose the cheetah coming out from the inside has happened in a few series. And maybe the pinnacle is, I'm not sure that I have or I haven't reached the pinnacle, but there's going to be like a moment where it's like she's fully emerged. I think that might be now. But one of the pieces was I was working as a life insurance agent, which I'm skilled at, mostly because I have the gift of gab and I can relate to most people on a genuine level and they feel safe with me. And then we can discuss like this adulting kind of stuff. But also because I've gained a knowledge about the products and the various carriers that allows me to have an expert opinion, and I give great service. And I'm a terrible liar, which makes me a good salesman to some people and a horrible one to others. But I'm good at the job, and I thought I always wanted to be a businesswoman. And the way the payment structure works in life insurance, as for myself, is I'm an independent agent. So every penny that I make from a carrier. I don't make off of one person or another. I am paid directly through the insurance carriers. But once you get paid one time, and then that's it. So as a good agent, let's say I have a client who closes their policy today. I will earn a commission on that. But in 2 years, let's say she wants to change her beneficiary because she's getting a divorce. And she needs to make sure that it's not her ex-husband, right? She's going to come to me. Now, a good person, a good businesswoman says, great, no problem. But somebody who's just in it for money, they may charge a fee or they may, but in most cases, we're going to do the job. Now, I was bequeathed a book of business, and I was doing this. I was helping somebody with a policy service, and I had never made a commission because I bequeathed her book of business. So she had already received the commission, and I was doing work, and it was during the pandemic, and I am managing the two kids that are over being at home. My husband and I are now sharing an office, and I think this client and I had exchanged a dozen or so emails, and it was for a very simple request, and there was nothing wrong with the client. She was lovely. But the amount of time that was going into this for no payment was like, okay, are we going to satisfy this person who's having a hard trouble locating a link on her page and keep ourselves really uncomfortable? Or are we going to say, you know what? This isn't what I want to keep doing. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had to answer the call of what I really wanted to do. So that was a moment. That's maybe a long way to go, a short distance, but that was a moment for me. I'll probably always remember the client's name because she wasn't my client. She's very forgettable, not for any reason other than this random request came through. And it was working on her paperwork that I was like, I'm done. I got to be done. So I still do the life insurance, but I had to be done ignoring the little voice inside my head that wanted to perform. and the little voice inside my head that wants to entertain. And I just said, okay, girlfriend, little cheetah in there, I'm here for you. You know what I mean? Like, let's let her out. And so that, yada, 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 leads me to what I did today that was so very special, which was I went and recorded the reel for my voiceover, commercial voiceover reel, which I started the very beginning of this year, January like 2nd, in my voiceover classes. And today was kind of like putting every class I've taken, and I worked with one of my coaches and producers from there to do this reel today. And it was just, I had a moment where I was driving and I was like, today's a really good day. You know, I got to do some life insurance, which I still enjoy doing because I get to be picky and choosy about my clients and I get to work mm-hmm. with moms like us. I got to do mom code, which is putting, you know, showing up for something that means a lot to me. I got to do voiceover in a really big way, and then I get to end it with podcasting and having lunch with a dear friend right in the middle. It's just like, what a great day. And I just had to sit with that and just take a moment for myself, because if it weren't for so many of my own actions and so many different claws or paws that cheetah insisted on pushing out of me, I wouldn't have gotten here. And I am all about celebrating the small victories. There ain't nothing small about today for me. I didn't book a big gig. I'm not, you know, it's just a really big, special, important moment in my life.
Well, and you're honoring you and you're letting your real self breathe and be and come forward. And it sounds like you had to be uncomfortable in order to say, you know what, like, I really don't want to feel this way. I don't really want to feel so trapped in this people-pleasing customer service, you know, trap, right? And you're like, I need to take this into my own hands. And performing is not something new to you. This is not like, this is something you're kind of returning to in a way. You haven't done voiceover before, or have you? But you've done acting, you've done comedy, like, this yeah. in a way, is this in a way like you kind of coming back to 100% this aspect of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is when I was younger, I moved here when I was 21 and I wanted to be an actress. Right. And when you want to be an actress, you go in, you don't have a choice. Like, oh, on Tuesdays, I get off early so I can go to an audition. You go in. Right. And this was the early 2000s. And every effort you put in is real. But with that comes immaturity, right? Being 21, you're immature, you've got self-doubt, you've got insecurities, you're surrounded by beautiful people. And for me, at least, it was like, oh my God, like, these people are on the hills. I remember I was in a class with Jessica McClain. Is that an actress? I don't know. That's probably not her name.
I don't know.
Whatever. She was on I can't think of anything. The vampire show that used to be on HBO, True Blood. And I remember when she started it, I was like, oh my God, that girl's in my acting class. And here I am, like, this nobody, nothing. So every time I would go on an audition, I was so painfully in my head. I was in my way and I just couldn't do it. And I eventually, you know, I always wonder, gosh, what if you had stuck with it? But I just wasn't in the headspace or the financial space to just give it up, right? And so eventually I said, I want to be a businesswoman. And I did everything in between. And it just, I think I came back to it, but I think the timing is right. Because for me, not everything is writing on this. This is for fun. I'm responding to myself. I'm not trying to be wealthy or famous. I'm just trying to answer the call to perform.
Beautiful. Mm. Yeah. I mean, having that element of pressure taken off, like, this isn't all of who I am. This isn't everything. I can see how that can make it a lot more enjoyable. otherwise you're like, this has to be it. This has to work.
Yeah. And you know, there's such, you know, they say, I don't know exactly how the thing goes, but it's like, first it becomes a thought and then it becomes a belief and then it becomes your words and then it becomes your actions. And if somewhere at the beginning of that train, you're like, God, everything is riding on this. I need this. I need this. I need this. If I don't get this, then I don't get my rent. If I don't get my rent, I move out of my apartment, right? Or like whatever the scenario that you've told yourself it could be. When it comes time to projecting that or asking for that raise or asking that person out or whatever it is, you've built up so much pressure around it and energy that it's almost like you're destined to fail. And I mean, some people that doesn't happen. For me, the more effort I put in or the more I hold on and can't let go and just be fluid and free with the process, and I want to control results, the more it prohibits me from succeeding. I just want you to know I'm so very proud of you. And
thank you.
I truly see you for, you have so much to offer this world. And I'm really glad that you're doing that, that you are offering the world pieces of
well,
you.
Well, I appreciate that from you as somebody who has been like one of my advocates, my friend, obviously, baseline friend, but like more than just that, like someone who's always encouraging me and calling me out of myself, you know, because like I can be, it's so easy for me to put myself down and to be like, well, I'm not enough that, or I'm not enough that, or like, you know,
it's
even
easy.
even with this voiceover thing, like, oh, Emily's doing voiceover and she's going to be really good at it. And like, if I were to do it, mom, it's like so ridiculous. It's so
it
like,
it is, but I understand it. I do. I know. It's self-deprecating.
It's like, and it's this competition that doesn't have to be, like, it doesn't have to be a competition. Like,
isn't that interesting that you do that to yourself?
It can be that like, you're you as you can be, and I'm as me as I can be. And there's enough room for both of us and by extension, all of us to shine. But I think that's what we're fed when we're young is that like, there's only one star. There's only one.
Well, I think especially for women,
you know? Yeah. It's a setup.
It is. And I just one more thing. It's not just that it's what we're fed. Okay. It's what we're fed, right? It is what we're fed. Like go look at my kids' Disney book collection. I mean, the stories are great, but it's like all talk about a main character. It's what we're fed. There's one woman and there's a dozen men in any capacity, in any boardroom, you know, in any, environment that gets to make choices. So it's not just what we're fed. It's what we see. It's what we're taught. It's what's laid out in front of us. But we're not going to stand for that narrative anymore. We're just not. We have to lift each other up. And I live in a world that's so carefully curated to be only greatness, like social media, let's just say. I delete accounts that make me roll my eyes or don't make me feel great about myself. So like a lot of my and television that I watch, a lot of the media that I subscribe or partake in is so carefully curated so that it's only the best, right? Mm-hmm. And so I forget that elements of catfighting and clawing and whatever the hell it is where we're competing for each other. I forget that those things exist. And I really suggest that for the rest of the world, like get that out of your feed and out of your peripheral. Let's just remember that we're all here to lift each other up and celebrate. Cause you could be a voiceover artist as much as you could sell out Madison Square Garden. Girl.
Girl. Well, thank you.
I mean it. Okay.
Okay. More later.
Don't you just love to hear yourself talk, Emily? God, I'm sorry.
Don't. You're my guest. You're supposed to be talking.
And we are going to leave it there for now. That concludes part one of my conversation with Emily. If you related to something you heard today and wanted to leave us a comment or maybe even ask a question that we might address in part two, please email us at thesharingprojectpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also, if you're listening on Spotify, leave a message right here on the episode in the app. And we'll look forward to hearing from you. Next time Emily and I meet, we're going to be focusing more on kind of the more challenging side of self-love. So not the shiny, positive, yay, I'm amazing side, which is very crucial, but the other side, which is what happens when you're looking at yourself honestly and you see some things that are kind of ugly, some things that you don't like. So we'll be talking about accountability and how each of us has been taking that in our own lives. So remember to like and review the podcast if you enjoyed it. Share it with people that you know would love it. And we will see you all back here again next week.